Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church on this, the 28th of the 3rd. We're meeting on the Sabbath, but you'll be getting this on the evening Sabbath or on the morning of the Lord's Day. So we are very glad to have your company. We're going to begin with a wee word of prayer and then we're going to sing Nearer My God to Thee. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you Lord for this new day. Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine as well. And there seems to be a wee bit just of a flick in the weather. I'm thankful of the comfort, if you can call it that, of the old adage about March coming in like a lion and going out like a lamb. And even though we do have a wee bit of wind and rain, it is certainly a lot better now than it was at the other end of March. Please, Lord, I pray you be with us this morning, wherever this portion of your word and the service is played. I pray you, Lord, that you would speak to hearts and minds, of mine especially. Lord, I pray you too for our country, for those that would be sick with this virus that's running about. I pray you, please, that you would save lives. I pray you too for souls to be saved as well, those that are ill or those that are supporting those that are ill, that love them and want the best for them. For the doctors and nurses, it's odd, Lord, for me personally, that we should be praying so ardently for doctors and nurses and the support staff in the hospitals again, after being so grateful for them at the end of last year. Lord, please look out for your preachers and teachers of your word, to bless those that get up and preach the full counsel of it. Please use this as a time of testing of souls and drawing them closer to you. Please, Lord, give our leaders right the way across the world the wisdom they need to do the right thing. Let it not be a face-saving exercise, Lord, and those that would profit off of this, Lord, I pray your good hand upon them as well, that you would take and guide and direct them. Thank you for my wife. Thank you, Lord, for Pat and Steve, for Norman, for Christy, for Esther, for Carol and John. Pray also for Stephen. Remember too Will and John and Christine and Will and Rachel and wee Lillianne. Pray you too for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang. Pray you for all those that have slipped and slid away. I pray you, Lord, that this would be a time where you can speak to them and deal with them. We remember too, Lord, those urgent prayer requests, especially for Pat's daughter Lorna. She's getting ready to have a little baby at the start of this coming week. So please do pray for Lorna and Philip and the whole family at this time, if you would. Lord, there are so many prayer requests, but I pray you, please, you would lead us and guide us and strengthen us for this service, for the words to speak, Lord, for voices to lift up the praises. And Father, we just love you and thank you. Thank you for your Son and for your word, for the free gift of salvation, and Lord, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Look after moms and dads. Please, Lord, give people level heads. Let it not be about them, but, Lord, about their fellow countrymen. And, Lord, we ask these, our many private prayer requests and petitions, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to sing an old favourite. It's Nearer My God to Thee. Now, it's not in our original hymn book, so unless you look it up on the internet and sing along, you'll not have any words, but it should be familiar to a few of you. Thank you. I had a request to read from Matthew chapter 24, which I am going to do just right about now. Matthew chapter 24. I don't know if I'll be reading all of it, but we'll be reading a good bit of it, probably up until verse number 28. This is Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse number 1. Now, you can always hit the pause button while you go and look for these Bible readings, and I do encourage you to follow along and not just to listen, sitting with your eyes closed. There's an old adage that we were taught whilst in training to train people in my old company, Desmond's, that you only remember about 20 or 25%, maybe 30% of what you hear, but you remember about 40 or 50% of what you see and hear. And the best way to live as a Christian is to practice your Christianity. And these very worldly people said that you remember about 70 to 80% of what you see and hear and do. So don't just listen to it. Look at it, read it, and practice it. Matthew chapter 24. The Word of God says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, sadly the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. We're going to stop at verse number 28, as per my request. Maybe we'll get to reading the other 23 or 24 verses next week, unless, of course, I get another request. But thank you very much indeed for that. Right. Normally we would have our announcements. The big announcement is, at the moment, stay in your homes. Stay away from other people and give this virus a chance to burn itself out. If you keep meeting up with folks or keep coughing and spluttering over folks, it is just going to kick off. Every person that catches it is basically a carrier and possibly very ill for a whole month. So please bear that in mind. Please do pray, as we already mentioned, for Pat's daughter Lorna. She goes to have a little baby, Lord willing, this week coming. Please do pray for mother and child and the rest of the family. Please do pray for each other. We miss each one of you. And we pray that you could be together with us. I'm assuming that everybody has private prayer requests. I know if I was to say, as anybody let me know of their private prayer requests, I'm only going to get two this morning, my wife and I. But I'm assuming that everybody has their private prayer requests. Please do remember as well, we Rita and Esther, those that are particularly not well, and Steve as well, please do pray for these folks. Please remember those that are still missing, lost loved ones that have passed away, and please do pray for your lost friends and family and loved ones. This is, and I say this most advisedly, a wonderful time for people to consider things that are important in their lives. Please do pray for them. Please do pray for the countries around the world. You don't have to pick and choose. Just pray for any of them and all of them. Most, if not all, are having difficulties with this virus that's causing so much trouble. If everybody doesn't behave themselves, you might see army on the streets. So behave yourselves and do what the government would ask you to do. My wife and I were having a discussion, Monica and myself, on the long journey to the church in the car. And one of the titles of President Trump is the Commander-in-Chief. But it's not just of the armed forces, it's of the whole population of the country. And if you refuse to do what the government says whenever it comes to the saving of your lives, you might find yourself being forced to do what you should be doing. Please do pray for each other. Please be considerate of each other. Please do pray for the preachers that have no churches to minister to, and all that they're doing is looking at a little square of plastic and bringing a message. And goodness gracious, just be careful yourselves. We love you and want the best for you. And please do as well pray for I know there'll not be too much happening in Charities Commission, but maybe we don't have to worry about that. Please do pray for the wheels turning in the solicitor's offices too. I think that's about that for our announcements. We will have another wee word of prayer, and then we will continue. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again that no matter how many times we want to lift up our voices to you in prayer, you're more than happy to hear from us. And not just for a quick prayer, for as quick or as slow and long as we are able, because we do know that you are more than happy to talk to any of your children. I pray for our neighbours to the church, for Henry Craig, for Stephen and Anne Marie, for Jane and for Carol Diamond, and Lord, for the other folks whose names I just don't know. I pray you, Lord, please, that just maybe the listening to of a gospel message, a little bit of comfort or strength, would be enough to turn them to you or to comfort and strengthen. I pray you, Lord, for strength for Monica and myself as well, for Steve, for Esther and Rita, and for those that tend to them. Pray you, please, Lord, that you would look after souls. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and watching over us. Please be our company here this morning as we bring this message, as we spend time around your word and lifting up your praises. We love you and thank you, Lord, and we pray it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. I think we're going to sing another song. All I have to do now is find out where there they are, where the song list is. And we have a few. So why don't we sing 319, just a closer walk with you. 319. Thank my wife for writing these all down so that I didn't have to come in and poke through thumbnailed pages. Away now, and we're going to take our Bibles and we're going to go to Mark chapter 10. If you would like to take and turn there, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 17. Remember, like I said, you can always press the pause whilst you go and do these things. Don't worry, I don't have the coronavirus. It's a bit cool in church and my nose has started to run just like it always does. Amen. All right. Mark chapter 10 and beginning reading at verse number 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not,
honor thy mother and father.
And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren, sisters or father or mother, or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now and this time, houses, brethren, sisters and mothers, and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, everlasting life or eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Amen. I want to spend a little while this morning speaking on the subject of a silk purse from a sow's ear. Or, if you want to shorten it to three words, a sow's ear. Right, we'll pray again and then we'll get stuck in. Heavenly Father, it seems like we're never away from your door today, but I do indeed thank you that you do hear us. I pray you for strength and for words. I pray you, Lord, that you would find still minds that are ready to receive the engrafted word, your engrafted word. Bless the hearers and myself as well this morning as we bring this message. And Lord, please let it be a help. Help us to change our perspective, to see things the way you see things. Please be with Stan at this time. He's just not feeling 100%. I think he was getting migraines or something. I pray that that's all it is. Look after the rest of his house up there in Bangor. And all the folks in the church, Stuart and Jennifer and Hannah and Stuart and his soon-to-be wife, Lord, please, I pray that your will would be done. Lord, we love you and thank you. Please bless this time in your presence. Amen. All right. This is quite a famous little part of God's word. I was going to do just a little bit of a run through this and maybe just give it to us in English this morning. At the start of this little reading here in verse number 17, we have a young man that comes running up to Jesus, a young man with everything. And he comes to Jesus because even though he has his pockets are full and his bank account is full, and when he goes home his house is full and his shelves are full, he realizes that there's still something missing, that he's empty somewhere. He's missing something that all the talent, money, and the right friends can't provide. And he says to Jesus, Jesus, how do I get to heaven? And the Lord asks him about all the things that he has done. He says, I haven't killed anybody. I haven't stolen anything. I haven't told lies about anybody or cheated anybody. I have honored my father and mother, and I haven't committed adultery. In other words, I have followed the commandments. Jesus said to him, you have done all of that, but yet you have realized there is still something missing. The Lord tells him the problem is that you have followed the commandments, but you have so much stuff in your life, you can't see me.
You don't even have time to think about me. Now, he doesn't say that to him. The Lord never just tells us the answer. Sometimes he asks us another question that gets us thinking about the answer. And all these things, he says, they're steering you off course. They're taking up so much of your time. And you're missing out on all that I have to tell you. But the Lord says it in a way that's personal. And I don't mean personal as an insult, but personal as in just for you. Because I love verse 21. He could have been scolding rich people there except for one thing. The Word of God says that Jesus, beholding him, in other words, looking on him, he loved him. And he said, go and sell everything that you have. You have a false god. You have an idol in your heart. And it's stuff. Go and get rid of that. Then you'll be able to take up your cross. In other words, you'll be able to follow me. He told him what was needed, not necessarily what was wanted. And this sort of gunked the young man, because the Bible says that he went away very grieved, very sorrowful, because he loved his stuff more than he loved God. In fact, do you know what? I think he was really afraid of finding out that when all of that stuff was gone, that there would be nothing there. There would be no God there. There would be nothing for him to do. There would be nobody for him to worship. And what Jesus is saying is, it's not a sin to be rich. As I was reading it, just for the first time, I don't know how many times I've read this portion of dozens of times, the end of verse number 22 tells us that the young man had great possessions. And I got to thinking, do you know what? He didn't have the greatest possession, the possession of the Holy Spirit. He had money had possessed him, and lands had possessed him, and things had possessed him, and power and the desire for all of these things had possessed him. But he didn't have the possession of the Holy Spirit. And so it was he had a great part missing in his heart. All that room that was meant for God, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, has been filled up with stuff, but it's still not enough. He could see the wheels turning in his head, and maybe he was thinking, you know, if I don't have all my stuff, I don't have anything. And instead of just in faith asking Jesus Christ to be his Savior, he went away with all of his money, still with nothing. I want for you to remember as well that, again, it's not a sin to have money. The Bible mentions many times those that were rich helping and even selling some of their lands or their houses to provide for those that had been displaced and dispossessed by the government at the time. It's not a sin to be rich. It's not a sin to have things. It's only a problem whenever all of those things have control over you. I want for you to know, when the Lord is telling us not just this little portion of God's word, but all of the things in the Bible, God is not being mean when he writes down and he tells us you shouldn't commit adultery, you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't cheat, you shouldn't steal, you should honour your mother and father, and you shouldn't have idols. He's not being mean. He's telling us the things that are good for us, that are deadly serious. And those words at the start of verse number 21, where the word of God is recorded as beholding him and loving him, those words apply to you and me. Because even now the Lord is watching us, and he loves us, even whenever we rub him up the wrong way, even when we, yep, I forgot about that. Even when we disobey him, he still loves us, and he will still tell us the truth. And the disciples are a bit gunked by this, and they sort of go then, well, who can be saved? If doing all this stuff is not going to save a soul, how do we get saved? Like that young man, he's a pillar of society. He was always good to his mom and dad, and he turns up at the church every week, and he puts his tithe in, and he sings like a wee angel, and he's very courteous, and he even puts a few alms in the bowls of those that are not doing so well. If he can't be saved, how can any man be saved? And Jesus says, look, it's impossible for a man to save his own soul. It's impossible. But you know what? It's not impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. The Lord, as we read on here, we see Peter, and he, you know, poor old Peter, sometimes he engaged his mouth without thinking about the brain, and he said, well, Lord, we have left everything for you. And we do know that some, at least, of the disciples were married. And the Lord said, Peter, there is no man that has left houses, homes, brothers, sisters, husbands, father, mother, anything for my sake that will not receive something that's 100 times better in this world. With the persecutions that come with it, and in the world to come, eternal life. It's not the giving up of things that buys your way to heaven. It's the making space in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is still a salvation that is required, and I'm thankful that Jesus provided that too, and all that we have to do is turn away from our sins and ask for him to be our Savior and trust him. Some of the things that appear in the Bible sometimes seem contradictory. How can we have everything whenever we have nothing? It's a strange thing that God's strength sometimes only shows through in our weakness. Whenever we stop trying to do the best that we can do and step out of the way and let God do the best that he can do. We live, as the Word of God says, in strange, wonderful, even perilous times. Times that many of the men who actually wrote these words as they were inspired of God wished that they could see. I am sure John would love to have seen this day. I am sure Daniel would love to have seen the days where all of those kingdoms that he prophesied about had come to pass and just exactly the way that the Lord told him. I'm sure he would have loved to have seen our little rectangular pieces of plastic and how we can find out anything about anything. And he would understand how knowledge, unfortunately not wisdom, was greatly increased. I am sure many of us wish as well that we didn't have to go through these times. But even for all of our hardships, we live in a time of plenty. There shouldn't be anybody that's starving. Shouldn't be anybody that's stuck for a change of underwear or socks, at least not in our country. For entertainment, for hobbies, for medicines and doctors and computers and internet and travel and even our personal freedoms, our right to free speech, although we have been asked to curtail our right to wander the streets. But we also live in a time where governments and even the church are okaying behaviours that are politically correct, but very harmful to body and soul. We live in strange times. Behaviours have become socially acceptable that many never even considered for by even critically thinking about them. And many folks just spend their whole lives like the bees and the wasps, flying about from flower to flower, taking a wee sip of nectar out of one and then going off to another. Running from pillar to post, from one activity to another, from one bed to another, from work and home, from home to out, and so on and so forth. And some people may even have that annoying interruption of children. Again, I'm sure the teachers will get a whole new level of respect when the children go back to school. And children get in the way of their leisure time. And they never, ever get time to think where their lives are leading them. I remember talking to
a family one time a number of years ago. And whenever I was little, I used to love going out to my dad's garage and taking a saw and a hammer and a nail and making a sword. And then with a few of our friends, we would go out and do knights. We would fight like knights. And I remember one neighbor whom never quite got on, he got a brush shaft. And it was really, really long. It was like a lance, but I think I had a 2x4 with a nicely carved handle. It was about 3 foot long with a cross guard to stop the thing from slipping down and hitting your hands. And I took one almighty swing at this and it snapped the brush shaft that he swung in the other direction in two, and he went home all worried because he'd taken it off his mum's brush shaft. Or I would have taken a screwdriver to a little car or robot that took batteries just to see exactly what went on the inside, or an old soldering iron to pull the components off of a TV, or to clean my bike, or to soup it up a wee bit, to degrease it and put light oil on the bearings so the thing nearly flew instead of going on the road. But we never think of those things right now. We never think of using our imagination of children. Children need to be occupied and entertained all the time. These people said, well, my kids go out to dance one night, and they go out to language lessons another night, and then there's after school activities another day. And I think by the time they were through a weekend, I think there was maybe one evening in the week where the whole family spent time together. The rest of it was a mad dash to entertain, to occupy, and to so-called improve their children. And yet not one of them is able to wire a plug. And I was doing that from no age at all. Give me a screwdriver, a hammer, a saw, and a few nails, and I would have been happy. And then later, of course, with soldering irons and this, that, and the other. Question is, who wants a sow's ear? I think that's one of the things. There used to be an old saying that the only thing that the butchers can't use on a pig is the oink. I don't think they can use the sow's ear for too much, but I suppose it looks nearly like a purse. And there's an old saying that about the man trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear is trying to make something very good out of something pretty much useless. Who wants a sow's ear? Now, you may not think it at this very time, but we have a precious gift from God in this sow's ear that we have been given. This major inconvenience, this quarantine, or this self-isolation, even though it may seem like trouble for many. It's self-imposed now. The government has requested it, and we mentioned earlier, if people don't start behaving themselves, they may actually order it, and you might find yourself in the cells some night with a few people whose medical pedigree you don't know anything about, so you could quite literally be taking your own life in your hands instead of other people's. And I know for a fact that this has taken a lot of the, in quotes, meaning out of people's lives. This having to sit in the house. What am I going to do if I can't get to work? I cease to have meaning and worth. What if I can't get to the gym? I'll turn into a tub of guts sitting on the couch. Well, what if I can't get out shopping? Well, you can still do that. What if I can't? But you can't go shopping for clothes, and you shouldn't be going shopping for TVs and stuff like that. What if I can't get out for a cup of coffee at my favourite coffee shop? There's at least one coffee shop out there that hates Christians. I hope they're doing well. What if I can't go and visit my friends? What am I going to do? That call that you heard coming in earlier on, that was actually one of my friends ringing me. They don't expect me to be in church on a Saturday morning. What am I going to do? Because I've been looking forward to my holidays halfway around the world. What am I going to do if I can't meet up with my mom and dad and brothers and sisters?
I think the simple answer is, really, is that you're going to spare your life and you're going to spare their life. But sometimes even that is not enough of a reason to think of their fellow man. Now let's be honest, who really wants to be sat in the house all day, looking out through the window, grinding their teeth? An answer to the question, who wants that sow's ear? Like, the truthful answer is nobody really wants it, but pretty much everybody has it. Now, the next question is, who wants a silk purse? You might think, well, a sow's ear would last longer. Silk is actually very hard wearing, but whenever you have a silk purse, you normally have something to put on it. Who wants a silk purse full of diamonds and rubies and gold? My wife didn't put her hand up, although she's agreeing with me by nodding her head. But I think we all, if someone said, no charge, if you want a silk purse full of all sorts of money and valuables, just put your hand up. When all these things are gone, it may take a while, but I am going to guarantee you that many will realize that a lot of the things that brought happiness, or should I say diversion, for the time that it takes for the new car smell or the new book smell to wear off, they're not actually doing you any good when you're stuck in the house. They're certainly not going to save you from anything for weeks or maybe even months if this keeps going on. You now have what so many people that are languishing, is that a good word? That are suffering in hell right now wish that they had in their lives. You have time to consider what your life is all about. You have the opportunity to discover that one thing, that only thing, that will put joy into your life wherever you are. Remember, not happiness, but joy. Even when you're having a difficult time, the joy that you can have when you know that your soul is safe and secure in the Savior's hands, and that there's a home in heaven with your name on it and the keys for it are waiting at the pearly gates. You have the opportunity to discover something that will render everything in 4K full color, whatever you see. To put a smile on your face even when the kids are driving you mad and doing kids things, even if it means a bit of extra work. You have this golden opportunity to spend time with God. To get close to God, if you haven't found Him already. To get a bit closer to Him. To find out that it is not money like the rich young ruler, or lands or possessions or activities that fulfill you, that content you. But it is a loving relationship with God Almighty through His Son, Christ Jesus. That it's not just all about a visit once a week to see if He'll overlook your mischief and set you up for another week of it, but a constant, caring, comforting, strengthening, smartening, in other words, make you wiser, but maybe make you smart, as in pain, whenever you do wrong. A protecting and provisioning, directing companionship, comradeship, fellowship that will bring a peace and a purpose that you are not going to find in anything else, that basically is a foundation for everything that you say and do in life, and will inject joy into many of those things, to all of every part of your life. And it's something that in the cool absence of all of our activities and things that we can't do anymore, that we should take time to consider very seriously. We're being given the gift of nothing. It seems like a sow's ear. But do you know what? Remember what the disciples said to Jesus? How then can man be saved? And Jesus said, well, with man, it's impossible. But with God, Not just salvation is possible, but the turning of this sow's ear into a silk purse is possible too. We can take the time to sit and just review what's going on in our lives and see if that is really fulfilling us. Are we content with God, or are we frantic because we have nothing to divert us from the absence of God's presence? Not just for the next week or two or three or four, but for the rest of our lives. For it's in this relationship, because God wants to adopt you into his family, it is this relationship that governs where we are going to spend our eternities, in heaven or hell. There's no other places mentioned in the Bible. Well, except paradise, but that's another sermon. And how we are going to spend our lives right here. Not in fear anymore of not having done enough, but in contentment of us sitting in the palm of God's hand and knowing that we're not working to get to heaven, but that we're working because we're going to heaven. And it's this that the young man was missing out on, because the WFD, it's not weapons for destruction, it's the world, the flesh, or our feelings and the devil. They can't supply these things. They can certainly give you a buzz and a thrill for a bit and take your mind off stuff, but eventually that wears off and you really have to confront that problem again. But God can and will, for anyone that comes to him and asks him, he'll take that sow's ear of all this time and he will provide for you a silk purse of time with him, of maybe a foundation, of definitely a foundational change in your life, and maybe a complete. And he'll give you the Holy Spirit. That's a little bit like the bin man taking all the stuff that you're getting rid of in the house, all that filthy, dirty, rotten stuff, and giving you £100. He'll do that for you if you let him. He will give you the experience for the rest of your life of salvation, of a world that looks completely different because you're seeing it through his eyes. He'll give you the Holy Spirit in your life, the best friend that you will ever have. He will open the Bible for you, and through the Holy Spirit, for the first time, you will look at pages that before seemed empty, but now will speak to you directly. In the same way that the Lord spoke to that rich young ruler, the Lord, loving you, will tell you all things from his word. Those same pages that used to be dusty and maybe even had a coffee ring on them will be personal. That's a love letter from you, from God to you. And the things we used to call coincidence, we will thank the Lord for his tender mercies and call them his provision and providence. Going to church that used to be an awful chore will become an opportunity, a joy, exciting as we meet with the brethren, as we lift up our voices with like-minded people and praise the Lord and hear his word preached, although sometimes maybe not as eloquently as I would like. We get to talk to people about Jesus because he's our best friend and he's done so much for us. And we know that he'll do it for anybody else. Why shouldn't they hear and not be embarrassed anymore, but joyful and thrilled as we watch the scripture work in hearts and minds? He also promises to send angels to minister to you. Now, I don't mean that you'll be able to throw yourself in the front of traffic and buses are going to fold around you like they do on the superhero movies. Bible says not to do stupid things like that just because you're saved, thinking God will save you. Don't tempt the Lord your God. But as you go about your life, the Lord will provision you. I was speaking to a young man who called me a miser because I kept getting free stuff. He says, you always get free stuff and I never do. And I said, the reason for that is because I do good things for other people because God puts it upon my heart, and then they do good stuff for me. And that's that. You also have the promise of Jesus sitting in heaven, even as you sit listening to this, wishing it would stop, fighting your corner against the devil, because the devil, every time the devil makes you do something, not makes you, tempts you to do something wrong, and reasons you around to doing something wrong, he doesn't take time with you to enjoy it. He goes up to heaven, Christian. And he goes to heaven and he says, Heavenly Father, do you remember Mark? He said a bad word, or he looked at someone lustfully, or he hated someone without a cause. He's murdered and committed adultery and lied in his heart. And Jesus leans over and says, Father, I paid for that already, and sends him back. And he intercedes for us constantly, sadly, that we need it. But because the devil is relentless in accusing us. The Lord also promised that once you trust him to save your soul and bring you to heaven, that he keeps you safe and secure in the palm of his hand. And he will never, ever lose you. He will never cast you out. In fact, Romans 8:31 tell us, if God be for you, who can be against you? He promises you overcoming power. When things get tough, go to God and do it his way. In fact, he promises you, when you get saved and do things his way, it's best for you right now, and you will come to the end of your life with no regrets. And you might be saying, but those sound like amazing jewels to be found in a silk purse. But I still need something to do. And God will say, you know what? The devil wants to be me. So many dictators and murderers want to be me. Do you want my job? And you might be saying, but God, I couldn't answer prayers and I couldn't do this. Do you know what? There's a vacancy. Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. But you know what he also said? He said, I'm going up to heaven. And the things that I did, you will do in greater. So instead of just going and seeking and saving those that are lost for 3 years, why don't you do it for the rest of your life? Do my job. I thought, okay. I guarantee you, when you are in the presence of God and you feel his power renewing you, whenever you experience the peace that's to be had there, and whenever you read his word and commit it to your heart and you experience the cleansing that God's word does in your heart, and then whenever you go out into the world and you speak to souls about the great things that God has done for you, the thrill of contending with the very hordes of hell is the greatest thrill that you can ever experience. The Lord also says, whenever difficult times come, says, you wait and do it my way. Temptation comes your way, keep your eyes on me, do it my way, and you will find a way to resist it or escape it. When things seem too big for you, you will mount up over them with the wings of eagles. You get adopted into my family. You become a beloved son for whom the door is always open and I always have a listening ear. And you will know that whenever your home, that your life here is over, that you're for heaven for sure, because you trusted Christ as your Savior. Now, there was one other that was just on the tip of my tongue, but it's escaped me. I'll mention it again if I think about it. But I think if people believed what the Bible has said, and the Bible's the most hated book in the world, but God said it will always be here until the world goes up in flames, there will always be the Word of God in the world. I think you have to say with your hand on your heart that God did indeed turn this sow's ear into a silk purse. If you were to trust Christ as your Savior and to take all his promises that he has written and preserved in his word, you would be a different man, a different woman, or a different child.
Not only that, you would be, instead of bound for hell on the broad road that leads to destruction, you're bound for heaven on the straight and narrow road that leads to life. Your life would be filled with the most valuable of things, a soul that is cleansed with the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and works and labours and prayers and good deeds that will last a lifetime. God's mercies and strengths new every morning. The question is, do you want God's silk purse? Because you have the sow's ear. You really don't have a choice at this very moment in time, on this 28th of March 2020. You have no choice, but you are given this sow's ear of life right now. You are restricted, maybe even feeling imprisoned. But if you turn to God and admit to Him that you're wrong, Lord, I'm a sinner, and ask Him to save you, He will turn that. You will be glad that you had this disaster of a world event happening so that you could take the time to find Jesus and ask Him to be your Saviour. I think I'll take the sow's ear and I'll let God turn it into a silk purse. Even for the Christian, this is a golden opportunity, because let's be honest, how many Christians get far too busy in this world and never take time to draw close to God? Rediscover those precious promises and time with the man that gave his life on the cross for you. Look for the silk purse, for those jewels. In prayer, just tell God, look, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I turned away. I'm sorry I got so busy that I never left you the time that you could have used to maybe make my life better. Admit that you've been doing it wrong for years. Ask Jesus to save your soul. The prayer that I prayed after much testing and much proving was, Lord, you know I'm a sinner, Lord, and I know I'm a sinner, and these people around me don't know a thing about me. Would you please save me? And in that moment, goodness, that's 31 years ago, in just a few short weeks, I was saved for free, forever, and for sure. You can have that. And He will take anyone that is genuine that comes to Him, and He'll never turn them away. You'll not have to wait until the quarantine's over. You'll not have to wait until your self-isolation is over, or until Boris Johnson comes back on the TV and says, it's gone, there's no more new cases, everyone is allowed to go back to what they were doing. And everyone will be thinking, thank goodness, life can get back to normal. Life, as we knew it, can start again. You can have that new life with Jesus Christ here and now in this world, and an eternal life in heaven to come. I guarantee you, you will never regret that time with Christ. You'll never regret letting God take that sow's ear and turning it into a full to the brim silk purse. God bless you, and thank you for your time. That is where we're leaving the scriptures for this morning. We pray it's a help to you. And we're going to serenade you with one last song. Does my wife have a suggestion from one of the ones that we picked, or do I have all the songs? I have all the songs. All right. We have Did You Think to Pray, From Every Stormy Wind, He Lifted Me, and I Must Tell Jesus. Which one of those appeals to you?
From Every Stormy Wind.
From Every Stormy Wind. That's 353. 353. Thank you for joining us this morning, or this afternoon, or this evening. I pray that you look after yourself and take a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ at this time, and we look forward to seeing you in the fullness of it. 353, right, I'm not typing those numbers in, I'm typing these numbers in.
Thank you again for your good time, Mrs. Bradfield especially, and for her multitude of patience and labours. I know that because I know I'm hard work sometimes, and have been over the past few months. God bless each one of you. Take this time to spend an extra moment or two in prayer for a soul that has slipped or slid over the years, and don't forget yourself. And we look forward to seeing you very, very soon. Don't forget, too, to pray for Pearl Hetherington, for Alan Leslie, Billy's old friend, and for Billy's neighbours, Kate and Sam Cairns. They have requested also a CD of the services. So pray for these souls as well. Love you all, miss you, and we will see you in the fullness of time. If not here, maybe in the air, or there in hell. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this time that we've set aside. Pray that you would bless the teaching and preaching of your word, that you would watch over us and keep us as we go home, and prepare us, Lord, as we go out again to distribute these to the souls that desire to hear the preaching of the cross. Please look after each one of them. Please, Lord, spread the word to their friends and families alike. Please help us always, Lord, to be a help and not a hindrance in people getting to know you as Saviour. We love you and thank you. Pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. All right. We will catch you next week. God bless you.